Welcome back to Text to Task Simplifying Education, the podcast where we talk about the art and science of simplifying education without dumbing it down. Today, I'm exploring the emotional landscape of education, the feelings, fears, hopes, and struggles that live beneath the surface of every classroom. I'm your host, Gargi, and today we are diving into something rarely discussed but universally experienced. The invisible emotional work that teachers carry every single day. Let me start with a moment of honesty. Right now, somewhere, a teacher is sitting at their table at 9 p.m., grading papers, while simultaneously worrying about her own child, who seemed withdrawn today, planning tomorrow's differentiated math lesson for three different ability levels, and feeling guilty about snapping at their own child because they're emotionally depleted. Sound familiar? This is emotional labor, the psychological effort of managing not just your own feelings, but orchestrating the emotional climate for 30 other human beings, 8 hours a day. And here's what's fascinating from a psychological perspective. We have barely scratched the surface of understanding its impact on education. Research in occupational psychology shows us that teaching ranks among the most emotionally demanding professions, right alongside healthcare and social work. But unlike those fields, teaching often lacks the emotional support structures and recognition of this hidden workload. We talk about lesson planning and curriculum design, but when do we discuss the mental energy required to be simultaneously a motivator, counselor, referee, cheerleader, and authority figure? Every interaction in your classroom carries emotional weight. When a student raises her hand for the first time in weeks, you feel that spark of connection. When you see the bruise on a student's arm and wonder what's happening at home, you carry that worry. When the principal observes your lesson on the day everything goes wrong, your nervous system floods with stress hormones that can take hours to subside. Here's something the research tells us that might surprise you. Teachers experience what psychologists call emotional contagion more intensely than almost any other profession. You literally absorb the emotions of your students throughout the day. Their anxiety becomes your anxiety, their frustration seeps into your own emotional state. Their joy, thankfully, can also become your joy. But the negative emotions tend to stick longer in our memory, a phenomenon called negativity bias. Research on teacher stress reveals something profound. The teachers who burn out aren't necessarily the ones with the heaviest workloads. They're often the ones who lack emotional regulation skills and support systems to process the constant emotional input they receive. Let's talk about something I call the compassion paradox. The very qualities that make you an excellent teacher, empathy, caring, emotional responsiveness, are the same qualities that can lead to emotional exhaustion. You feel deeply for every student, but that depth of feeling comes with a cost. Psychology research shows us that unmanaged empathy can lead to what's called empathic distress, where caring becomes overwhelming rather than motivating. But here's where it gets interesting. Studies on teacher well-being consistently show that educators who acknowledge and actively manage their emotional lives don't just survive, they thrive. They have better relationships with students, more creativity in their teaching, and surprisingly, better academic outcomes in their classrooms. So what does emotional self-care actually look like for teachers? It's not bubble baths and yoga, though those can help. It's developing what psychologists call emotional granularity. The ability to identify and name your specific feelings with precision. Instead of, I'm stressed, try, I'm feeling overwhelmed by the volume of work and anxious about meeting everyone's needs. This specificity matters because different emotions require different responses. Overwhelm needs organization and boundary setting. Anxiety needs grounding techniques and perspective. Sadness about a struggling student needs processing and possibly seeking support for that child. Research also shows us the power of what's called emotional compartmentalization. Not suppressing feelings, but consciously choosing when and where to process them. You can acknowledge that seeing a student struggle affects you without letting that emotion derail your ability to teach the next lesson. One of the most powerful strategies backed by psychology research is something called cognitive reappraisal, essentially changing how you think about challenging situations. Instead of, "This student hates me," try, "This student is having a hard time and might be taking it out on me." Same situation, completely different emotional impact. Here's your reflection for this week. Keep an emotion log for just 3 days, not to judge or fix, just to notice. What emotions show up most frequently in your teaching day? What triggers them? What helps them pass? This awareness is the first step towards emotional resilience. Remember, acknowledging your inner life isn't self-indulgent. It's professional development. When teachers are emotionally healthy, students learn better, classrooms feel safer, and education transforms from a job that drains you into work that sustains you. That's all for today's episode. Until then, be gentle with yourself. Your emotional work matters, and so do you. Share this episode with a teacher who needs to know they are not alone. Thank you so much.